happened because I'm just that good at splicing. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, recharge our batteries, send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Patrick. It was a fun-filled night last night in plain sight, and we have much more to go. So let's do this.
Let's do this thing. All sorts of things. I know you've got some prep ready. I did want to ask you, Conor McGregor, who is probably the most famous Irishman nowadays. There used to be this other guy named Boner, and he was part of the U Gay 2 band. What was it called? A U Gay 2? Was that what it was? No, U2.
U2?
Boner was the lead man, but
Bono. Yeah, Bono.
God.
Left his shill. Probably is calling for genocide of babies right now.
The leftists don't even like him because he was like hanging out with Jesse Helms, and he was just hanging out with anybody who would hang out with him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you two are just detritus. I mean, they're just whatever pro-Israeli cause, and they disguise it as being pro-white. I mean, I know you two and Bono was big buds with Bush, the younger.
Yeah.
But they're total pro-Israeli genocide of Palestinian babies. But as far as Conor McGregor, I mean, he's a fake Irishman. You know, he threw that fight to the black dude just to make some money. And I have zero respect for Conor McGregor, even though he's come out and said some stuff recently that would be considered pro-white, maybe, possibly. But I put him in the same category as Elon Musk, as someone that the system uses to get ahead of what's going on. Well, what do you got on Conor?
Conor, okay, his fight with Floyd Mayweather, he didn't do badly, because the thing is, he's not a boxer. He's a mixed martial artist, and he did a boxing fight, and he had points taken off a couple times because he was using strikes that would have been legal in UFC but aren't legal in boxing. I don't know. He actually did all right considering Floyd Mayweather's.
It was just the whole thing was a moneymaker for him. Like, you don't – all right. You and I have both done martial arts. We've sparred. I mean, you know, it's very difficult to spar with someone from a different discipline. But like Mayweather and Conor, like, that just should never have happened. All right. He did that to get a bunch of money and publicity. And it just made white people and Irish people look bad. I mean, he knew that he could do that stuff.
You know who makes white people and Irish people look good?
Who's that?
The Gypsy King. What's his name? The big boxer, the heavyweight champ. You know what I'm talking about.
The Gypsy King. You're going to make me Google it? Okay.
Google it.
Or you could just tell me.
I could tell you. It slips my mind. He's the undefeated heavyweight champion of the world.
Tyson Fury.
Yeah, Tyson Fury. But he actually apparently didn't do too well in his last fight, but still squeaked by on a controversial decision.
Well, look, if your forte is mixed martial arts and you're going against a boxer where you're going to limit yourself, I mean, McGregor did that for the money. He did that for the money, for the publicity. He took the loss. He took the loss to a black man. I have very little respect for him, but his recent comments have, you know, generated some hype that can be used in hyperbole and narratives, I suppose.
He's getting investigated for hate speech.
Well, yeah, because they're doing this thing in Ireland because of the stabbing of, you know, third world detritus, stabbing young children. And finally, the Irish had enough, and you had a bunch of white people protesting there. And then a bunch of brown people were took advantage of the protests and decided to loot and businesses and set things on fire. It's just this whole debacle. The whole thing, I think it is planned. I mean, I think that Irish are obviously upset and are fed up with third world immigration. And so you get these, you know, you have this incident like the stabbing, and you get white people out on the street protesting. That gives the government a perfect cause to come in and enact the laws. Now they're enacting laws under the dot-headed street defecator Prime Minister of Ireland, Vlad Kier, Indian something, to say that anything you post online, you can be, you know, against immigration or that's considered racist, you can be prosecuted for.
Everybody out there should go to, I know it's on YouTube, you can look up Father, you look up Are You Right There, Father Ted, and watch that episode. It's 23 minutes. It's time well spent. So I hear you're a racist now, Father. Have you ever seen that episode? Have I had you look at it, Jeremy?
I have not. I will look it up, but the Father Ted stuff is, I mean, it's funny. I don't think a lot of listeners have heard it.
Yeah,
so they'll have to look that up and listen to it.
Have you ever heard my Boomer Man? I do take little sound bites from Father Ted and from that episode in particular, where Father Ted, everybody decides he's a racist. Well, I'm going to spoil it a little bit for people. He was inside his house. He put a lampshade on his head that looked kind of like one of those hats that Vietnamese people wear when they're harvesting rice. And then he pulled his eyes back and he started dancing around saying, "Oh, I'm Chinese," for some bizarre reason. And then he looks up and he had these three Chinese people looking at him through a window, through his window. And he didn't realize it, but actually his tiny little island off the coast of Western Ireland was full of Chinese people. He'd never noticed that. And so so anyway, his neighbor says, "Oh, so I hear you're a racist now, Father. Should we all, what is the position of the church? Should we all be racist? Only I tend to get tired after a full day of work and I just want to come home for a cup of tea." And "No, I'm not a racist." And then, "Good for you, Father. Good for you. It's about time somebody stood up against those Greeks. They invented gayness." And then the two neighbors are getting, no, it's not the Greeks he's after, it's the Chinese. It's really, really funny. So watch it.
I mean, this crackdown on Irish protests against immigration and the violence thereof committed by third world brown immigrants, saying, did they come down this hard on the IRA? Even, I don't think so. If you want to protest British rule of your government, you want to blow up some cars of British statesmen, okay, that's one thing. But to protest, you know, for white Irishmen being displaced in their own country, that's unacceptable. We're going to do all of these draconian laws now, even combing through your social media posts to incriminate you. That's the route they're going. This is the whole thing of the left, you know, the Jewish dominated governments of the West. They give you things that you're allowed to talk about. So even amongst these Irish protesters, none of them are going to talk about, you know, the Jews' role in European forced immigration. None of them are going to talk about that. They can talk about how it's expensive to take care of these immigrants. They can talk about all sorts of different things, but they can't talk about the root cause of it. Which is Jews pushing immigrants into Europe and America for white displacement. That's not on the table. Similarly, on the left, you know, the left is allowed to talk about white apartheid Israel genociding Palestinian children, but you can't talk about true Jewish power, right? None of these people are talking about it. And they'll even set up, what's the word? People that infiltrate the left and the right, you know, in the COINTELPRO tier spirit. So let's take this kid from, what's the college in Pennsylvania? This kid did a lot of violent posts against Jews in light of the Palestinian genocide. Tell me the name of the college.
I'm gonna look it up. Was it an Ivy League school?
Huh?
Was it an Ivy League school?
Yeah.
The University of Pennsylvania is the only Ivy League school in Pennsylvania.
That is Ivy League. But there's one more specific incident that I'm talking about. Cornell. Isn't Cornell there?
Cornell's in Ithaca, New York.
All right, hang on. I'm really having to do this off the cuff here, and I'm swapping through the prep.
That's okay.
All right, so there was a student in a Pennsylvania college that did a bunch of online threats, like violent threats toward Jews and Jewish groups at his college, you know, in light of the Palestinian genocide from Israel, by Israel. And the FBI came down, arrested him, talked to his family, all of that. What I'm getting at is the Jewish dominated system puts agents provocateurs in both the left and the right. And this example is someone who I think probably had ties with the feds, who posted this stuff to make the whole pro-Palestinian movement look bad. I'm pretty sure it's Cornell. Are you sure Cornell's not?
Yeah, Cornell is, it's north of Pennsylvania. It's in upstate New York. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I've actually never been to Cornell. I think I've probably been to all the other Ivy League schools. And I haven't been to Brown either. But anyway.
Well, we do have an article from the New York Post where in these Ivy League schools, because they're so leftist, you know, because they're dominated by Jews, pro-BLM, you know, pro-immigration, all that, these leftists are now taking up pro-Palestinian positions. And because of that, you have this anti-Semitic backlash on the campuses. And so according to the New York Post, a lot of Jewish families are refusing to send their Jewish children to these schools. And they're opting for more conservative schools, because conservative means, you know, right-wing, Christian Zionist tier mentality. And they feel safer in these environments.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at this article and saying, oh, well, they'll send their kids to Plan B schools. And they mention Washington University in St. Louis, Emory, which I think that's where President Carter went, in Atlanta, Vanderbilt in Nashville. But, you know, like, I can't speak for those schools per se, but you go to these other schools. If you're at Williams College in Massachusetts, these schools are just as leftist. Swarthmore in outside of Philadelphia, they've got all the wokeness. You're not going to avoid the wokeness. You're not going to avoid the Palestinian solidarity movement by going to a Plan B school. So that's kind of an odd article. It's all over. So you might avoid it if you're going to University of Minnesota at Duluth, perhaps, you know, but you're not going to, I don't know. It is interesting. This really is the Jewish, what would you call it? It's like the Jewish elite eating their own children or something. The Jewish elite created this anti-whiteness, and now they're getting smeared with it. Because Jewish supremacy is white racism or whatever.
And he gets online and he does specific threats, like very bad threats, talking about killing Jewish people and attacking Jewish institutions on campus. And then he's arrested by the FBI, of course, and his family questioned. To me, I was thinking this Patrick Dye guy was maybe in league with the feds. Maybe this is a whole thing that's set up to discredit the whole pro-Palestinian movement on these campuses. Because look, we have this student who is now making violent threats against these Jews. It just doesn't sound like something that's organic to me. Am I being too conspiratorial? I don't know. Are you familiar with Patrick Dye and what I'm talking about?
Well, okay, so it's not as if you've never had a Jewish student on a university draw swastikas on his or her own dormitory door. I mean, you have this type of stuff. The anti-Jewish hate incidents are just chock full of just false flags, right? After President Trump was elected, the ADL was talking about like 120 bomb threats being called into JCC, Jewish community centers and Jewish schools and whatnot. And it turned out that about 80% of them were called in from some kid, supposedly like a 19-year-old kid in Israel. And then the other ones that were a copycat. It was some black guy who was mad at his girlfriend who had just left him for a Jewish guy or something like that. There was no white supremacy involved. There was no real anti-Semitism involved, as a matter of fact. So it's certainly not conspiratorial, overly conspiratorial, to think that somehow or another this wasn't exactly organic. Having said that, one thing is, when people first open their eyes to Jewish power, often they're outraged, and then that outrage can take the form of not particularly well thought out statements, right? And like, I don't know, there's very few people who bitch and moan about Jewish power more than I do. Sometimes I'm involved in the production of songs where we're singing things that if someone were to listen to it, they'd think, wow, that guy's got a problem. But, honestly, I was talking with Dr. Duke over the weekend. We were talking a lot. And honestly, I don't even dislike Jews. I actually kind of like Jews on an individual level, probably more than average. I know an awful lot of, over the course of my life, I've met an awful lot of Jews who I think are completely nice and well-meaning and everything. But they do have a tendency towards ethnocentrism. They have a tendency towards, I think, a kind of paranoia, right? And of course, the whole, Holocaust and other victimization narratives feed into what's probably a natural tendency towards paranoia. And it leads them to thinking if they don't control society, they might be Holocaust. You never know, because the Holocaust is just.
A life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given
the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraine, Ltd. at Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Leads them to thinking if they don't control society, they might be holocausted. You never know, because the Holocaust, it was just the goyim all of a sudden turning against them for no reason, right? And of course, they never have to say they're sorry. They never have to confront history. Everything this business about giving them a pass on everything feeds into their worst tendencies. But the thing is, I think on a personal basis, Jews, there's some nasty people, but on average, I think they're perfectly fine. I get along with them just fine, honestly. And I'm not saying that because, like, I'm somebody that the ADL calls David Duke's right hand man. I'm never going to get a pass. Okay, there's nothing I can say that is going to erase the crime of being David Duke's right-hand man. I'm always going to be branded as an anti-Semite. So whatever. But honestly, and I do think that Jews as a group are really, really screwing up the world and on the verge of destroying the world, really. So I do have a harsh view of Jewish power. And I don't excuse the average Jew from Jewish power. I think, because I'm always emphasizing Jewish power, it's decentralized, it's both organized and unorganized, and just the typical average Jewish person who might be perfectly nice, they actually have a role in it. It's not as if they have nothing to do with it, and it's not as if they're the victims. I think they actually derive some relative benefit from it, although really, everybody on earth would probably benefit more if Jewish power was defeated. But anyway, that's my view of it. And so I think it's plausible, it's possible that this guy that we're talking about at Cornell University was in one way or another put up to it by the feds. But we know this type of stuff happens in internet chat rooms where they egg on people to do things. And it's also possible that this is somebody who really only just opened their eyes to what's going on and is outraged and is taking it out in the wrong way. That's what I have to say.
And just like, 9/11 or the school shootings or whatever you want to bring up, it's not necessarily what it was or how they did it or to what extent was it planned. It's how is the system using it? And they're using Patrick Dye as an example of a leftist that's gone off the rails to the point of threatening Jewish students on his campus. Cornell is Ivy League and is in New York. I looked it up.
Yeah, and it's very...
I don't know where... It's very Josh.
Very Jewish.
Very Josh.
Every year. I know some years it's got... the highest proportion of Jews in any of the Ivy League schools, like 35%.
And so the point of this article is that Jews are sensing this and they're choosing, instead of sending their students to Ivy League schools, which is the exact opposite of the book or the writing, The Chosen, getting in, right? Talking about Jews dominating Ivy League. Instead, these Jewish families are talking about sending their students to more conservative schools. Think of that word, conservative, right-wing, pro-Trump, against immigration, but totally, totally pro-Israeli. I mean, it is the conservative Christian Zionists that are pushing this advocation for genocide of Palestinian children in this current conflict. And so Jews feel more comfortable now on the right than they do the left. That's what I was taking from the article.
Yeah, I mean, there may be some schools. I don't know about Vanderbilt, and I'm sure that Emory. You're not going to avoid this stuff by going to Emory or Wash U in St. Louis. Maybe you could avoid it, but certainly by going to like Liberty University, which was founded by Jerry Falwell.
You could put the Star of Rimfram on your forehead. Liberty University. I mean, Falwell was a total Zionist.
Yeah. And there may be, some other schools. I don't know. I don't know. Where would you avoid it? There's, what is it called? Whittier College in outside Chicago that was Billy Graham's school. I don't know what a place like Southern Methodist University in Texas would be like. I've never been there. But in general, universities and colleges, especially the elite ones, you're going to find blue-haired fat girls with nose rings and tattoos, and they're going to be involved in the whole LGBTQ thing, and they will support whatever the cause is, whatever the cause is, they're going to support it. And you'll find these Palestinian solidarity groups.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. at liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty. Whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen, these courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Whatever the, you know, the cause is, whatever the cause is, they're going to support it, and you'll find these Palestinian solidarity groups. You'll find the BDS, the boycott, disinvestment, and sanctions. You're going to find it, and it's not exclusive to the Ivy League by any means.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? The left has taken on this mantle of pro-Palestinian. The Jews have lost control of their own golem here. Golem being the left rabid support groups, usually led by these fat, blue-haired white chicks, pro-BLM, pro-immigration, pro-child tranny, and all that. They're taking up the mantle of pro-Palestine now. It's a fascinating development that we've seen since this conflict, since October 7th. It does seem like, and I'm sure the Jews feel like, they're losing control of the very people that they've empowered.
Yeah, and I think they have lost control. I think they have lost control. At the end of the day, I think it's more important what's going on outside the United States, but the Jewish power structure in the United States is going to lose some very important power resources because of what's going on outside the United States. There's going to be humiliation. There is going to be a massive decrease in the dollar as an international currency. And with the United States no longer being the reserve currency, the ability to just print money at will without consequences, without inflation consequences, that's going to be greatly reduced. And without the ability to print money at will, then their ability to do things domestically is going to be decreased. So I think we're really heading into massive fundamental changes. I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but I'm actually really hopeful. And I think that China and Russia and now Hamas really have to be credited for, you know, not that they were doing this to save us. They were doing it for everything that's going on. They're doing it for their own reasons. But it's creating an opening that was virtually unimaginable just a few years ago.
It's brought the topic to the forefront. Can you imagine, Patrick, speaking in political terms in the upcoming election, the cognitive dissonance in these leftists, these blue-haired fat chicks with piercings and all that, that are now pro-Palestinian, but yet all the Democratic leaders, every prominent Democrat and Republican for that matter, but we're talking about Democrats, are pro-Israel. What's that going to do to the political landscape and the election coming up at 24, where these people, I mean, they don't see anybody, any Democrat coming on the stage that's pro-Palestinian, that shares their views?
This is going to create a lot of openings. So, you know, we haven't been talking about the 2024 elections. And honestly, I've barely even been paying attention to Trump. I mean, I know he's still got legal stuff going on. I know he's a zillion miles ahead in the polls. And as much as they want to meme Nikki Haley into some sort of contender, there's no time left. So you got Trump. The Biden object is kind of late. I guess it's never really too late to do a substitution on him. If he decided, let's just say we got into April, you know, March or April. Well, okay. Well, here's one thing that's kind of interesting. So in February, there's going to be the New Hampshire primary. It's the first in the nation, but the Biden campaign wanted South Carolina and I guess Nevada to leapfrog ahead of Iowa and New Hampshire because South Carolina is full of blacks and I guess Nevada is full of Mexicans, and they didn't want the white people in Iowa and New Hampshire to have such a say. So Biden's not even going to be on the ballot in New Hampshire. So there's going to be some random congressman from New Hampshire, from Minnesota, who I think is going to get on the ballot. I can't even remember his name. And I guess, what's her name? Something Williamson, the crazy Jewish lady who's like all spiritual. She'll be on the ballot. And in 1968, and I guess Kennedy won't be on the ballot because he's going to run as an independent rather than a Democrat. But in 68, Lyndon Johnson wasn't on the ballot either. So Biden's going to have a horrible showing. He won't be on the ballot. People can write in his name, but he might be embarrassed. And then even if Biden winds up winning all these primaries, if he's pressured to withdraw from the race, he withdraws from the race, and they get Gavin Awsom or Josh Shapiro or somebody else. So who knows? But I kind of got sidetracked. The thing I wanted to say was that in the general election, the leftists of the party who aren't going to be happy if you have Biden or some other pro-Israel establishment person, they will have choices. It looks like the Green Party is going to have Jill Stein again, who she's Jewish and really isn't that anti-Israel or pro-Palestinian, but she can have that appearance, and she could attract a lot of votes. you know, like, I don't mean enough to win states or anything, but to make a difference. If she's getting 3 or 4% of the votes in a Wisconsin or a Pennsylvania, that's enough. That's going to make it that much harder for the establishment to try to fake anything. This could all work in Trump's, very much in Trump's benefit. And Trump, like, I haven't even been paying attention to what he's been saying about this. And the likelihood is that to the extent he's talking about Israel and Gaza, it's retarded. But his base, he's not going to suffer from his base, unfortunately, by being pro-Israel. Unfortunately, he won't suffer.
Well, yeah, it's expected. It's expected that pro-Trump, right-wing, anti-immigration, anti-child training, pro-Israel. That's the stance of the right in American politics. But the left has to be going through some sort of crisis right now, where literally no one prominent, you mentioned Jill Stein, maybe, but no one prominent on the left is taking up the pro-Palestinian. As a matter of fact, I covered an article last night where AIPAC is trying to, what is the word, primary, Rashid Tlaib? Yeah. By offering some black guy $20 million to run against her. They're trying to get rid, the left is trying to get rid of the anti-Israeli people. There's got to be some point.
Yeah.
The right's never going to say, well, Trump's pro-Israel, therefore I can't support him. That's never going to be the case. I mean, these right-wingers and their four-wheel drive pickup trucks, regardless of how Trump talked about the vax and to what extent he supported COVID lockdowns, they don't care about that. You know, Trump's their guy, and if he's pro-Israel, well, by God, I'm going to put the star of Rim Fram on my profile picture and be pro-Israel. I stand for Israel, Trump, and America. But these leftists, I mean, they've got to be suffering some sort of, I mean, there's got to be some point where they're like, wait, nobody represents us in this. And it didn't happen in the Bernie Sanders debacle in 2016. I mean, Sanders should have been the nominee, right? And it was taken from him, and the left just went along with it because, well, we've got to go against Trump. I mean, that's the thing, you know. We've got to support Hillary because we can't have Trump, this fascist Nazi white supremacist guy. But at this point, nobody on the left is pro-Palestinian. All these leftists that are taking up this cause don't have anyone that represents them. There's got to be some point where they say, what's going on here? I'm talking about the left becoming red-pilled, I guess.
And honestly, I did not predict this. I was involved in Palestinian solidarity movements, you know, 20 years ago. I'd go to these meetings. I'd go to demonstrations. I'd speak at them. I was involved, and there was a feeling, the 80s and the 90s and the aughts, that, you know, the Democrat, there was an anti-war wing of the Democratic Party that would complain that they weren't being represented by the party establishment. And then it seemed as if the Democratic left or whatever just completely abandoned foreign policy. You didn't hear, ever since Barack Obama became president, you never heard anybody complain about Libya or Syria, and you certainly didn't hear anybody complain about Ukraine. No, they were putting up blue and yellow Facebook profiles or whatever. And so I really didn't expect it. I mean, I knew there were still Palestinian solidarity organizations at schools, because I've seen posters a few years ago, like at Williams College in particular, but at other places I saw these pro-Palestinian posters, so I knew it still existed. But I am surprised, honestly, that it's been a big cause, you know, because you think they certainly were willing to adopt Black Lives Matter. They were willing to adopt, racial injustice. What else were they willing to adopt? And they were willing to adopt pussy hats, right? So, and I and But none of this was foreign policy. None of it was anti-war. I hadn't seen the left be anti-war for like 15 years, ever since Bush was out of office. I didn't expect this, but it's happening, and it's happening pretty prominently, pretty big, and it is going to be a big problem for the Democratic Party, and it's a big party for the Jew, a problem for the Jewish establishment, because it's so hard to not associate Israel with Jews, because they call themselves the Jewish state. They call themselves the Jewish state for a reason.
And the left was perfectly happy with Trump getting cheated out of the election. I mean, they knew it was fake. I don't buy this thing where the left thinks it was legit. They knew it was fake and they went along with it because, hey, we stopped the fascist. We stopped the white nationalist candidate. Okay. So the left was perfectly willing to go along with that. But now you're going to have the situation where both the left and the right are going to feel displaced is not the word. What's the word, Patrick? Dude, it's late at night. I'm tired. Disenfranchised. Both the left and the right are going to feel disenfranchised in 24, because what's going to happen? The left has no candidate that's pro-Palestinian that are going to push back against Israel. So no matter who's elected, they're going to feel disenfranchised. Trump is the prominent Republican candidate. He's got the populist support. Will they let him come into office? I think not. So you're going to come into a situation where it's not just one side feeling they've got the victory of the other. I think the end of 2024, you're going to have both the left and the right feeling disenfranchised, that there's no candidate that represents them. This is going to be a huge thing. This is going to be a huge problem for the Jewish-dominated elite. You get what I'm saying? Right? In 2020, the left felt like they won. Hey, we took the election from Trump. Right? Mm. But now, no one's standing up for Palestine. Trump's not going to be allowed to be the president. They're probably going to fake it. Both the left and the right are going to feel completely disenfranchised, and they're going to lose faith in the system. That's my prediction. What do you think about that?
Very possible. See, I have the feeling Trump, like all of the everything might come together for Trump, and whether that's a good thing or not, I don't even know. One would hope that he's learned a lot of lessons, but he doesn't. I don't know. He doesn't always seem to learn lessons, so I just don't know. We'll see. I think if I had to bet, I would probably bet that next 12 months from now, he'll win the presidential election. But I have no idea.
I don't think so. I think they'll fake it out. I think it will be obvious that Trump is the choice of the right, the choice of the people on the right wing, the Republican side. They fake it. They bring Newsom in and put him in there with chlamydia. And the left is going to be like, wait, these people are pro-Israel. We didn't vote for this. We don't want this. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just disenfranchising one side or the other, they're going to disenfranchise both. And that could lead to a crisis with the elite. What are they going to do in response? How are they going to handle that? How are they going to handle it when both sides know that the system is illegitimate?
I don't know. I think we're going in some real instability. And yeah, for a long time, I keep comparing this to the closing days, the last days of the Soviet Union. I think there was a lot of parallels. But we'll see. The country's in such bad shape. We're so unhealthy. And you've got zillions of people just flooding in. I don't know. I just don't know. But what I'm optimistic about is that externally, outside the United States, saner heads are starting to assert themselves.
Well, yeah, the unipolar world has turned into a bipolar world where Russia and China are sort of taking the lead. They're going to bring Israel and Palestine to the table. It looks like through the UN they're going to negotiate a two-party state. It's got to happen. There's really no other way out of that. But in the meantime, in American politics, what I'm saying is, you know, you've got the system now infiltrating both sides, just like COINTELPRO. You know, in the 60s and the 50s, where they infiltrated.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
American politics, what I'm saying is, you know, you've got the system now infiltrating both sides, just like COINTELPRO. You know, in the 60s and the 50s, where they infiltrated Klansmen and communist groups, you've got them infiltrating pro-Palestinian protest groups, and you've got them, infiltrating pro-right groups that are pushing back against immigration and that see the white genocide. And so what I'm saying is that the system is now losing control of the populace. They're having to try to infiltrate both groups to try to maintain some kind of control, right? And the people eventually have to see it.
Yeah. There's one caveat. I people always use the term bring them to the table, right? The table meaning the negotiating table. I don't see Israel and Hamas or Gaza or Palestine, whatever you want to say. I don't see them being brought to the table. I see them being called into the principal's office. And so it's not as if they are going to negotiate a settlement. I think the settlement is going to be dictated to them by Russia and China.
Well, through the UN, and that gets us back full circle to the conversation last night on In Plain Sight. I mean, the UN being the arbitrators.
Probably through the UN, but not necessarily.
Well, and it's through the UN, but it's at the power of whatever global powers are, you know, dominant at the time. Russia and China are dominant now. Similarly to the 90s, where the U.S. was dominant, they can just do whatever they want, invade Iraq, you know, push Iraq out of Kuwait. With their coalition of the willing, 2003, Bush the younger. I mean, you could see Russia and China playing this role. Not that it's necessarily a bad role, but that's probably the way things are going to go. You're implicating, if I'm not mistaken, Patrick, that you know, Russia, China, and the BRICS could force a negotiation with Israel and Palestine.
I'm not even talking about negotiation. I'm just saying laying down the law, saying this was a settlement was decided on 50 something years ago, 55 years ago, and it's going to be implemented, and that's that.
And so what are the implications? UN peacekeepers coming in and forcing Israel out of Gaza?
Well, I mean, Israel's barely in Gaza. Like, they've been bombing it. They've got, like, I guess they got some tanks or something. But Israel can't do anything without support. And Israel's not winning a war. They're just destroying Gaza. But we're kind of out of time. But it's something that we'll certainly discuss more next week.
I'll just leave you with this. Either the U.S. stops supporting Israel in this, or Israel is forced by force to stop doing this to Gaza. That's really the only two things that I see happening.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Patrick. Stay classy, my friend.
And I will be back again tomorrow and the next day with Dr. David Duke for a very special episode of Oh, These Jews and Their Shenanigans.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.